हे कृष्णा। सो थर्ड चैप्टर कर्म योगा, वी हैव सीन श्लोका बाय श्लोका, ऑल द 43 श्लोकास इन डिटेल। नाउ लेट्स गेट अ होल्ड ऑफ द एंटायर चैप्टर बाय सीइंग ऑल द श्लोकास एट वन ग्लांस। सो लेट्स स्टार्ट। सो द एंटायर चैप्टर हैज अ लिंक विद द प्रीवियस चैप्टर। सो इन द प्रीवियस चैप्टर, चैप्टर नंबर 2, कृष्णा डिस्क्राइब वेरियस थिंग्स। ही डिस्क्राइब सांख्य योगा, कर्म कांडा। He described about some parts of Jnana Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, then again Karma Yoga and so on. Now, Arjuna, he is posting a question by which Krishna is forced to again speak various topics which he had already spoken, but now in detail and in systematic way. So what is Arjuna's question? In Shloka number 1 and 2, Arjuna is asking a question. And his question is, what is good, what is better, renunciation or work? Please tell me, O Krishna. And please tell me in a systematic way, Arjuna is saying. And then Krishna starts speaking. From shloka number 3 to 9, shloka number 3 to 9, here Krishna is speaking about Nishkama Karma Yoga. So Nishkama Karma Yoga, he is recommending for Arjuna. He is saying that Nishkama Karma Yoga is better than Jnana Yoga for you, Arjuna. Why? Because for Jnana Yoga, one has to come to the platform of fully purified heart. And according to Krishna, Arjuna is not yet qualified for that. So he's saying that you better do Nishkama Karma Yoga. That is shloka number 3 to 9, where you know he's speaking various things about how one should do one's duty without getting attached to the results. And then from shloka number 10 to 16, oh, before that, so in this section of 3 to 9, Krishna is saying, like shloka number 4 and 5, you know, we see that he is saying that, see, one cannot remain not working, because inaction is unnatural for a living entity. So remove this thing from the mind that, you know, I'll just remain inactive, I'll not do anything. So that's not possible. Three modes of material nature will anyways force you. So don't think about that. And then he continues now from shloka number 6 to 9, and he says, even if you do that, what is the use of it? Externally you will be a renounced person, but internally the mind will always dwell on the sense objects, and such a person will be called as a pretender. So Krishna describes what pretender. Then Krishna continues the next thing from shloka number 10 to 16, where he's talking about moving from Karma Kanda to Karma Yoga. He starts talking about that. So now if we see in shloka number 10 and shloka number 11, Krishna is talking about doing yajna, and he's saying one can be happy. One can be happy by doing yajna, and there should be cooperation between the demigods and human beings, he says. And then from shloka number 12 and 13, Krishna is saying that when someone does sacrifice and accepts the food that is offered in sacrifice, such a person is free from sins. Or else, if the person is eating food which is not offered in sacrifice, such a person is not actually eating food but eating sin. And we have discussed in great detail this particular shloka. And then from shloka number 14 to 16, a very, very interesting section where Krishna described the cycle of sacrifice. So where he said that from prescribed duties comes yajna, and from yajna rain falls. So rainfall is there, and from the rainfalls at proper times, what happens? There are grains which will be produced in the fields, and the living entities who are subsisting on the grains, they are nourished. So in this way, this entire cycle he mentioned, and also he talked about how Lord has given the Vedas, and in the Vedas, prescribed duties are mentioned and yajna is mentioned. So Lord is again, he is also there here, who triggers this entire cycle. So this is the cycle that was discussed in detail. And then from shloka number 14, sorry, from shloka number 17 onwards. Now Krishna is describing about Nishkama Karma Yoga. One should do Nishkama Karma Yoga. For what? Previously, he told Arjuna, you should do Nishkama Karma Yoga because of so and so reasons. And he gave that, don't be a pretender, You're not ready yet for Jnana Yoga. Better you do Nishkama Karma Yoga. But now, he's saying, oh Arjuna, if you feel that you're ready for Jnana Yoga, you're transcendental, you know, to various things, and you're above, if you feel you're at a good level in transcendence. So, I recommend that one should practice Nishkama Karma Yoga to set an example. So, from shloka number 17 onwards till 35, you know, this is given. And especially from shloka number 14 to 19, Krishna is talking about a self-realized soul, he need not work, but still he works due to obligation for what? To setting an example. So that's what is very nicely spoken by Krishna. And then from shloka number 20 to 24, 20 to 24, Krishna is giving different examples. 20 to 24. And in that, he gives his own example also. Firstly, he speaks about Janak Maharaj, that how Janak Maharaj attained perfection by doing prescribed duties. And then he says, oh Arjuna, there is no need of me to do any prescribed duty, but still I am doing it to set an example. If I don't do, then the men who are following me, they will be completely destroyed, because they will be not following the prescribed duties. So in this way, he gives two examples, Janak Maharaj and his own example. And then from shloka number 25 to 29. From shloka number 25 to 29, here Krishna is describing that a karma yogi, a nishkama karma yogi, he works without getting attached to the results. He is detached. But then at the same time, he does not go and disturb the person who is in ignorance. He does not pull the carpet under the feet of the ignorant person. But then what he does? He engages that ignorant person in such a way that his level increases when it comes to the consciousness. And then Krishna continues from shloka number 30. From shloka number 30 to 32. Here, Krishna is saying, let's see, I have given various injunctions, scriptural injunctions, because I am the compiler of all the Vedas. So if someone follows these, you know, that person will be benefited. So here it is given that the person, 31, shloka number 31. So he says that the one who follows my injunctions that given in the Shastra, what happens? That person becomes free from the bondage of fruitive actions. And if the person is not following, what happens? He says, such a person will be ruined in their endeavors for perfection. He uses strong words to set the right example or the right thing, that yes, one should follow the scriptures, the injunctions given by Krishna. And then from shloka number 33 to 35. Now here, Krishna is talking about, one should do one's own duty. One shouldn't think, oh, that I can do better than what currently is my duty. So Krishna is saying, do your own duty and don't imitate others. Don't do others' duty, even if you are able to do that duty, others' duty, perfectly. It's okay. Get destroyed by doing your own duty, no problem. Because one's own duty is meant to purify one's own self. Others' duty will not help the person to get purified. So Krishna is telling Arjuna, Are Baba, don't act like a Brahmana. Or don't act like a person who is renounced, who goes to the forest and stays there. You are a Kshatriya. Even if you go to the forest, you'll fight there. Better you fight here on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. That's what he spoke in this. And then the next section that we saw from shloka number 36 onwards till the last shloka 43. So in shloka number 36, Arjuna had asked a question. That okay, even if I want to do prescribed duties, O Krishna, I feel that I'll not be able to continue for a long time, because it's observed that there is some force that pulls the person from the right path. So, O Krishna, can you tell me which force that is? What do we call that as? And Krishna starts speaking. Krishna says, it's only lust, O Arjuna. From shloka number 37 to 40, Krishna is saying, Kama esha krodha esha, that particular shloka. He says, Kama esha, the lust which is there, Rajoguna Samudbhavaha, it comes from the mode of passion. And it is Mahashana Mahapapma. Please understand, it is the greatest sin, you know, that is there. So here it says, all devouring, sinful enemy, lust. And then he gives the different degrees of lust. Hope if you remember this. He talks about the smoke covering the fire, the dust covering the mirror, and the womb covering the embryo. So he gives different levels or different degrees of lust. And then after that, in shloka number 40, he talks about where is this enemy sitting. He calls lust as enemy, but now if we want to conquer the enemy, we should know, right, where is this enemy sitting. Then he says that the lust or this enemy is sitting in, according to shloka, Indriyani, Mano, Buddhi, senses, mind and intelligence. And finally, towards the end, from 41 to 43, Krishna is talking about one can conquer this lust. One can conquer this lust by doing what? By regulating one's senses. And then he ends the entire chapter, and especially this section of conquering the devouring enemy, lust, by saying that by one's own deliberate spiritual intelligence, one should conquer one's mind and make it steady, and in this way drive away the lust. So here we see from shloka number 1 to shloka number 43, Krishna has given lot of things so that we can implement in our day-to-day life. And we have discussed how practical each and every shloka is. We have discussed in great detail. And here in this entire chapter, the essence we can understand is, the essence is very clear. And the essence is that, you know, we are stuck, somehow we are stuck. We are pulled badly by these lusty desires. And then we cannot act like pretenders also by posing that, you know, we are great spiritual personalities or whatever. So what are we supposed to do? We are supposed to do our work, whatever we are doing. And along with that, we have to include Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga in our life, especially the chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So when we do that, Lord, who is Rishikesha, He will help us to control the Rishik, the senses. The senses are controlled, and then the mind will get controlled, and when the mind is controlled, the intelligence will get controlled. So when I say will be getting controlled, so it basically means Krishna will help us to control the senses, then the mind, then the intelligence. So first it talks about controlling the senses. So when the soul, the ultimate soul, who is there, that is we are not ultimate is super soul, but then we, our original identity is we are spirit soul. So when it comes to spirit soul, when the spirit soul is engaged in service of Krishna, this is a very important thing. When the spirit soul is engaged in service of Krishna, the intelligence, mind and senses, all of that get controlled. So in this way, we have to meditate. As devotees, as students of Gita, we have to meditate on this point, that how can I engage myself in service of Krishna all the time? If we can do that, that is actually success of life, because that will take us closer to perfection of this human form of life. That is breaking the cycle of birth and death forever. So in this way, Krishna gave a lot of transcendental knowledge in this. He glorified it. Now exclusively, Krishna is going to glorify the transcendental knowledge in the next chapter. So let's see, chapter number 4, transcendental knowledge, from next video onwards, shloka by shloka. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.